I'm Matt Katz, in this week for Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. In its latest attempt to deter migrants from applying for asylum in the United States, the Trump administration reached an agreement last week intended to divert asylum seekers to El Salvador, one of the world's most violent countries. On Friday, Acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan signed a Memorandum of Understanding with Salvadoran Foreign Minister Alexandra Hill.
As we work together to target irregular migration flows through the region, that is one potential use of the agreement, that individuals crossing through El Salvador should be able to seek protections there, and we want to enforce the integrity of that process throughout the region. But it's a broader part of our partnership on addressing migration flows in the region.
Specific details on the agreement remain scarce, but the Trump administration reached a similar deal with the government of Guatemala in August. These latest moves come after U.S. immigration officials have already sent tens of thousands of people to stay in Mexico while their asylum cases are being considered. And in another effort to curb the flow of immigrants, the administration is now beginning to assign Border Patrol agents instead of trained asylum officers the task of screening migrant families at the border to determine if they qualify for U.S. protection. But what effect will these policy changes actually have on the safety of migrants traveling to the U.S.? That's where we start today on The Takeaway. With me now are Molly O'Toole, immigration reporter at the Los Angeles Times, and Jonathan Blitzer, staff writer at The New Yorker, to talk about the latest in Trump's immigration policy. Thanks to you both for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us.
So, Molly, what are the details? What do we know currently about this latest U.S. asylum deal with El Salvador?
Well, most of what we know about this deal so far is what we don't know. It's actually very short on details. The acting Homeland Security Secretary, Kevin McAleenan, was saying there one potential use, which is the likely goal, at least from the Trump administration's standpoint, is that any migrant that passes through El Salvador on their way north to the U.S.-Mexico border to claim asylum in the United States would likely be rendered ineligible for asylum in the U.S., having not claimed asylum first. In El Salvador. And it's a pretty good guess based on the formulation of other agreements and other pushes the Trump administration has made. It's basically a way to limit, yet again, primarily Central Americans from trying to seek asylum. I think the one potential use is likely the primary use that at least some of White House officials and certain Trump administration officials would be pushing for. And he also mentioned we want to be able to enforce the integrity of this process. I think that's also an indication that they see this sort of forcing migrants to claim asylum in other countries first. They say it's to ensure the integrity of the asylum process in the U.S. because the argument is, well, why couldn't they have claimed asylum in another safe country before they got to the U.S. if they're legitimate asylum seekers? Many other people would push back and say, well, El Salvador is not exactly a safe country, having one of the highest homicide rates in the world.
That gets us to also Guatemala and Mexico. And Jonathan, the U.S. has tried to create deals like this one with El Salvador, with other countries, including Guatemala and Mexico. How similar are the agreements in terms of just what we know now?
Well, I think in some ways what you've seen in Guatemala and what the administration has hoped to have with Mexico and so far hasn't been able to obtain are kind of the models for this type of agreement known as a safe third country agreement. So the idea is essentially to outsource the asylum process to countries in the region. It's a regional vision. It's a vision that has been particularly embraced by the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Kevin McAleenan, as Molly has said. I think the interesting case in Guatemala, just as a contrast to what we're seeing from El Salvador, is that 80% of the asylum seekers apprehended at the U.S.'s southern border either come from Guatemala or transit through Guatemala. Mm-hmm. So from the U.S. government standpoint, if it can create agreements, regional agreements like this with countries that are seeing huge flows of migrants passing through, the idea is that you can effectively kind of reroute asylum seekers so that they're never able to actually seek asylum once they reach the U.S. El Salvador is an interesting case because just in terms of the numbers of people transiting through El Salvador, it's not as much of a kind of main corridor as a country like Guatemala
is. Just because based of where it is geographically,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But I think kind of the idea behind a deal with El Salvador is to increase pressure on other countries in the region to make these sorts of agreements with the U.S. By the end of this month, the Department of Homeland Security has been charged with coming up with an agreement both with El Salvador, with Honduras. Guatemala at this point, there has been an agreement signed. It's kind of in a weird state of legal limbo in Guatemala. But the idea is very much to continue to ramp up pressure on these countries so that there is a region-wide kind of agreement with the U.S. to take asylum seekers and otherwise prevent them from being able to make those claims at the U.S. border.
So I guess then the question is what these countries get out of this. Molly, what is El Salvador hoping to get out of this deal? Why would they be doing something like this?
Well, Jonathan raises a really good point in why El Salvador is particularly interesting in that it's not a major transit country. And actually, migrants that are coming from further south to go north, they actually intentionally go around El Salvador. And it's Honduras that's used primarily as a transit country for those migrants. But for El Salvador, they have a newly elected president. He was just elected in June, Nayib Bukele, really interesting figure. He's a millennial. He's a millionaire. He ran as an outsider. He has been really reticent to criticize the Trump administration. His line has been El Salvador needs to take more responsibility for the fact that there is this outward migration, that people feel that they are so desperate because of gang violence, inequality, corruption, that they have to leave El Salvador. There was some reporting that indicated that a potential solution for temporary protected status, that TPS program, that hundreds of thousands of Salvadorans are in the United States, and there hasn't been a resolution to that. The Trump administration tried to end TPS for a number of nationalities. There's some ongoing litigation that was sort of part of the negotiations, that El Salvador said they'd be willing to sign this, but they were pushing for resolution on that. So reportedly, they did not get one, but there's a lot that El Salvador could stand to gain from better relations with the U.S. 20% of El Salvador's economy is dependent on remittances from the United States. And Bukele also has been very adamant that he wants to attract foreign investment and have public-private partnerships to try and shore up El Salvador's economy so they're not so dependent on remittances from the United States. So from El Salvador's perspective, if they can put a pen to paper, show the White House that they've signed an agreement, potentially the White House is going to be more open to either the restoration of reversal of these cuts to aid to the Northern Triangle that the Trump administration put into place as kind of a leverage on migration.
So, Jonathan, do you think this could work? I mean, can it really have an impact on deterring immigrants from seeking protection in the U.S.? What is it dependent on?
First of all, just in terms of actual implementation, I think it's an extremely tall order to put these kinds of agreements into practice. And we've already seen as an example of this what's happened in Guatemala, where initially this agreement was signed with the Guatemalan government. That was a few months ago. Still, we have really no clarity as to whether or not that plan will go forward, what kinds of resources will be allocated to this effort. These countries have, in addition to being particularly dangerous places, they also have next to no infrastructure in place for processing asylum seekers. And so there's just a monumental amount of work that would have to go into this that, quite frankly, doesn't seem even possible on its face. That said, if the administration is able to put these kinds of agreements into place, the idea is precisely if and when asylum seekers reach the U.S., they'll be turned away and sent back to these other countries. I kind of understand the push to get these agreements signed kind of along a continuum that we're seeing from the administration. So you've got from watching Secretary McAleenan operate, he is trying to kind of use some combination of diplomacy, pressure to convince these governments to sign this sort of agreement. Simultaneously, inside the White House, I think there's impatience to block everything faster and sort of pull all the levers possible to block asylum seekers at the southern border.
Right.
And so what we just saw earlier this month was the Supreme Court kind of ruling in a procedural context to allow what was effectively an executive branch regulation blocking asylum at the southern border to go into effect until it's challenged in court in December. that particular executive branch regulation is modeled very much on the idea of these safe third country agreements. Basically, the way in which that regulation blocks asylum seekers at the southern border is to say, if you haven't already sought asylum in a country along the way, along your route to the U.S.,
right,
you're ineligible to seek asylum once you hit the U.S. So you're seeing basically all of these different layers of policies to try to block asylum seekers once they reach the U.S.
And there's one other, Molly, before we go, I want to turn to an update that you had from the border about Border Patrol agents are now starting to replace asylum seekers to interview migrant families who are applying for asylum. Can you give us a brief explanation of that before we go?
It also should be seen as part of this pattern, this push from the Trump administration to restrict asylum seekers, because the belief is that Border Patrol agents will be more adversarial, they'll be more tough, they'll be less likely to approve asylum seekers in this critical first step known as the credible fear interview. This is the first time Border Patrol agents, instead of asylum officers, have done these interviews. Border Patrol agents are law enforcement as opposed to asylum officers who are highly trained in the legal immigration system. The thinking is that they'll restrict asylum seekers, and there's some indication already that they may approve them at lower rates. We saw and obtained some data that said a 53% approval rate as opposed to the typical average, which is about 80%. So it should be seen as part of the same pattern as the El Salvador agreement.
The Trump administration has also tried to limit the number of refugees who are approved to enter the country for resettlement. And one proposed option would cut the number of admissions down to zero for the coming fiscal year. Molly, can you fit this into the larger context here? What does that, along with these regional deals in Central America, tell us about the administration's ultimate immigration agenda?
During the campaign, especially, President Trump said that he was going to focus on restricting illegal immigration. And many of the more substantial steps that have been taken under Trump so far, and is almost 3 years in office now, is actually to restrict legal immigration. So refugee status and asylum, both means of immigrating to the United States legally, not illegally. And with the drop in refugee caps, that's another way in which they're trying to restrict access to the United States. And a lot of those actions tend to be focused on Central America when it comes to asylum. Refugee status, not so much. We're talking about other countries from around the world where people might be coming. If you restrict the legal avenues by which people try and come to the United States, you're potentially incentivizing people to attempt to enter the United States illegally, which would be counterproductive to the Trump administration's goals. So if that refugee cap drops to zero, and if some of these policies that they've enacted to try and restrict asylum, such as the El Salvador agreement, the Guatemala agreement, most significantly the Supreme Court ruling on the Trump policy that would actually render these individual agreements with countries sort of pointless, because it would render anyone ineligible who'd pass through any other country and not claim asylum there. All of these things could potentially incentivize people to try and enter the United States illegally.
We'll be keeping an eye on all of this stuff. Thank you so much. Molly O'Toole is an immigration reporter at the Los Angeles Times, and Jonathan Blitzer is a staff writer at The New Yorker. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks.
Thanks.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.